service station welcomes you to another baseball broadcast brought to you direct from Comiskey Park. Today's game is between the Chicago White Sox and the Washington Senators. And now out to Comiskey Park and Hal Totten, who is going to interview one or more of your favorite players right from the playing field. Take it away, Hal Totten.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon from Comiskey Park, the home of the White Sox at Chicago, where we take the air from the field, but in midst of one of the doggonest demonstrations we've ever seen at a ballpark, and what a thrill it is all the way through. It's Lions Day, you know, the International Lions Exposition, or whatever. What is it, anyway? Anyway, they're having a big gathering here this week, and it's Lions Day out here at Comiskey Park. Bands from all over the United States are here parading around the field. The band from Menasha, Wisconsin, the high school championship band, has formed the letter W out in the outfield back of second base in their cadet gray trousers and blue jacket and the white pom-poms. A marvelous band right in front of us now is the Flandreau band, all decked out in red coats and white trousers. And all these bands, a good many of the members of the band are girls. The Michigan band, we're from Benton Harbor, paraded the field just a moment ago. A whole Florida delegation, which came in an automobile train of 47 cars, is gathered, a few of them right here, but a whole bunch of them over back at the first baseline, including one fellow that weighs at least 500 pounds more than me, wearing bathing trunks. And thank you very much. From Lakeland, Florida, eh? Well, got some matches all the way from Florida. Okay, that's fine. The band right here now is spread out all the way from here at the dugout down to the end of the left field line playing. And somebody's firing off blank cartridges in the grandstand. The Florida delegation, all their cars were yellow, and they're wearing these yellow sun helmets. And it's really something worth looking at. Incidentally, all around here... Yeah, I knew Dixie's a Lion. So am I.
Well, you sent me over to
tell
you that.
Sure. We're all Lions. I think I belong to four different clubs. I don't know. Did you? Well, Dixie's very proud of being a Lion. I know that. And where are you from?
Chicago, Uptown Lions.
Oh, you're
Lions.
Uptown,
yeah,
Lions.
Uptown Lions.
Well, I think that's where I first was made a Lion, in Uptown Lions. I went up there and made a speech about, 10 years ago.
Well, I just started in a year ago to make speeches up there.
I see.
And we organized an auxiliary up there last fall, and out of that, I conducted a breakfast for 1,200 Lioness.
Oh, that's marvelous.
We had four of the ball
came out, eh?
We had Dixie Walker, the pitcher, Dietrich Sewell, and we had the noisy one.
Mr. Benura?
Mr. Benura up there this morning.
I stole one away from me. I had the Appling with me. He went on the air. He said he was supposed to go to that breakfast, too, but he couldn't make it. Another Southern boy, you know.
Another Southern boy.
So you know how they like breakfast.
Well, we kidded Zeke Benura this morning and told him that he was a bachelor and that he had a girl. And everybody wondered who his girlfriend was, and when I told him that it was Mother, you should have seen him and you should have seen the women. They just went wild.
He was afraid you were going to give something away. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, it's sort of, here's the Cowboys out here now with their blank cartridges, and it's a Wisconsin Day out here also. I was talking to George Dobbins of Wyawega, Wisconsin. There's a good word to pronounce. He's past district governor there. And among other things, they brought some souvenir boxes of cheese down here. You know, up there in Wisconsin, they produce 1,000,000 pounds of cheese a day, about 57.5% of the cheese produced in the entire country, and they're down here helping to celebrate that. The Wisconsin band is coming off the field now, marching in through the outfield, led by two very charming young ladies in two very charming young ladies are leading the band in here, and followed by a man leader. I want to introduce Frank at that. Frank Birch of Milwaukee. I understand you're going to be the next international president.
Well, I'd like that right. Right. How are
you? Are you vice president this year?
Yeah, of course.
What kind of convention are you having?
Oh, we're having a marvelous convention.
How many people are there in the park today?
Oh, there must be 5,000 or 6,000.
5,000 or 6,000. You just broke the door business.
All right. They're here from Hawaii and Alaska and all of the United States.
Yeah, that's marvelous. I think you're putting on one of the finest shows I ever saw put on in a ballpark.
Thank you.
And one thing I like to start with the ball players, while they watch their
fielding practice, sort of grinned and said, well, sort of fun to have all the noise around.
Well, the way the Sox have been going, they don't need much fielding practice, I guess.
Hey, your club up in Milwaukee took a couple of bumps lately. We got to do something about that.
Well, all right. You take out our good players and put them in the big leagues, though.
Yeah, that's right. You had a great club last year, and they're all doing well up here.
Frank Ivan is one of the sailors and congratulations on your 20th getting elected tomorrow. Friday noon. Nothing goes wrong. Well, there's no flats arrived. That's right. No, thank you. Thank you a lot for saying hello. Now, there's Clint Brown. He's gone movie camera mad now. He's coming around here. Clint, how long did you hold off before you started going for this movie business?
Oh, a long time.
Today, your first day at it?
Yes, first day at it.
Well, you probably
broke him yesterday, so I got a good
break him already. You checked
him out. Anyway.
The two managers, Bucky Harris and Jimmy Dykes, are being presented by Mr. Dobbins with the souvenir boxes of cheese out there with the Wisconsin band in the background to form the picture. And the Florida delegation is still grouped all over the plate. And the Flandro band over here with a fellow in an Indian costume is still playing out back of us while we try to do some more. They're announcing now that the presentation of the cheese is being made. Incidentally, I got the other one. I got me a little souvenir today. The players really didn't get much in the way of practice on account of all this excitement. I almost wish I was upstairs where George is, where you could really see it and not be right down in the middle of it where we are, because half the time you can't see, everybody crowds around. But that's all. Hello, Luke. How'd you make out this noon? All right? You're a bad referee? Oh, you missed one in the court. That's Luke Affleck. You're sitting down to be a referee on Charlie Lyon's show today. Here are the... they gave me one. Same. Thank you, Frank, very much. Huh?
Him. We've got an extra
pack. All right, I'll take it up to George. That's all right with you? Or do you want it to go to one of the other boys?
There's four others up there,
so if you take one, you're going to have to fight on your hands. Well, if we'll take it up and ask them to, I'll be willing to pass them around for you. Yes, sir, absolutely. That's right, okay. Okay, that list's been in Wisconsin. I told them all about it. Here's the lineup today, ladies and gentlemen, for Washington. Almeida center, Lewis third, Travis short, Simmons left, Stone right, Cool first, Meyer second, Rick Farrell catching, and DeShong pitching. For the White Sox, Hayes second, Kravitz center, Walker right, Benura first, Radcliffe left, Appling short, Berger third, Poole catching, and Dietrich will do the pitching. When we get upstairs, we'll find out just how the umpires work. More fireworks. Boy, oh boy, what a lot of fun. Well, everybody's starting up in the stands now, and I don't know whether it's safe for me to come up there, George. Are they shooting up that way, or are they just shooting? Anyway, I think that we've had enough excitement for the moment. Everybody filing into the stands. It was a grand show. And now the White Sox and the Senators are going to put on a show that they hope to be just as good for them. And now, George, I'm going to start upstairs. Looks like I'm going to have quite a few people to get through, because there must be a good, oh, I would say 12,000 people at this ball game today, which is a terrific crowd for midweek. And it's cash, too. Cash on the line, my friend. So now, if you'll do a little switching in the studio, I'll start upstairs. Okay? Righto.
Thousands of requests for Texaco's 1937 baseball scorebook are pouring in every day. Don't wait any longer to send in your request card for your own copy. You'll find it great fun to score these games play-by-play just as Hal Cotton does. The system is explained simply and in detail. In addition, day-by-day, as unusual plays develop, Hal Cotton will tell you how to score them. The book is crammed with other interesting baseball information. You'll find pictures and rosters of both teams, complete schedules of all major league teams, many pages of interesting data on the Cubs and Sox. The 1937 Texaco Baseball Scorebook is something worthwhile having, and it's easy to get. All you have to do is go to any Texaco dealer and ask for a request card, stamp it, and put it in the mail. Your own copy of the Texaco Scorebook will be mailed directly. Remember, the 1937 Texaco Baseball Scorebook is absolutely free. Get your request card in the mail today. And now to give Hal Totten a chance to get up there to the booth out at Comiskey Park for this afternoon's ball game between the Chicago White Sox and the Washington Senators, we'll give you the schedule of the other games to be played in the Major Leagues together with what sporting information we have time for. Taking first the National League, the Cubs are in Philadelphia today playing a doubleheader against the Phillies. The Cubs won the first game today 4-1 with 4 runs, 10 hits, and 1 error to the Phillies 1 run, 8 hits, and no errors with Lee and Hartnett, the Cub battery for the entire game, and for the Phillies, Johnson and Grace. In that game, Collins had a home run in the first inning, and Camilli of the Phillies had one run, a home run, in the ninth inning to make the only tally for the Phillies in the first game. The second game has not started yet, but will start in about 15 minutes. In Brooklyn, the Dodgers are taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates and lead the Pirates at the end of the first half of the second inning, 1-0, with Bowman and Todd, the Pirate battery, and for the leading Dodgers, Jeff Cote and Spencer. In New York, the Giants entertain the Cincinnati Reds. At the end of the first inning, it's a scoreless tie between the Giants and Reds, 0-0, with Hollingsworth and Davis, the Red battery, for the Giants, Castleman and Danning. In Boston, the Bees are playing a doubleheader against the St. Louis Cardinals. At the end of the ninth inning, the score is tied at 1-1 between the Cardinals and the Bees, with Blake and Owen, the Cardinal battery, for the Bees, Fetty and Miller. And now in the American League, in St. Louis, the Browns will take on the New York Yankees again this afternoon, and the game will be played because it's clear in St. Louis. But the game won't start until about 4 o'clock Chicago time. In Detroit, where the weather's clear, the Tigers will take on the Boston Red Sox. In Cleveland, the Indians are entertaining the Philadelphia Athletics in two games. The first game has started, and at the end of the fourth inning, the Indians lead the A's 3-0 with Thomas and Conroy, the athletic battery, for the Tribe, Harder, and Sullivan. Scores and complete batteries at the end of the third, sixth, and ninth innings of today's ballgame. And now for a bit of baseball and other sporting information from around the country. Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees and Ducky Medrick of the St. Louis Cardinals continue to set the pace today for the Major League hitters. Gehrig topped the American League batters with a mark of 379, following the Yankee first baseman was his teammate Joe DiMaggio. Sam West of the St. Louis Browns, Cecil Travis of the Washington Senators, and Bo Bell of the Browns. Medrick headed the National League sluggers with a 412 average. Paul Wehner of the Pittsburgh Pirates was second, Gabby Hartnett of the Chicago Cubs third, Archie Vaughn of the Pittsburgh Pirates fourth, and Billy Herman of the Cubs was fifth. And now speaking of baseball, here comes a surprise story from St. Louis that one of the greatest baseball players in the history of the National League was dismissed today as manager of the seventh-place St. Louis Browns. Manager Rogers Hornsby was given his walking papers as pilot of the Browns by President Don L. Barnes. Barnes made the customary announcement that Hornsby had been ousted for the best interests of the club. The dismissal was effective immediately. One of Hornsby's aides on the coaching staff, the former first base star, Sonny Jim Bottomley, was named to succeed Hornsby as manager of the team, which has won only 25 out of the 75 games this season. The rift between Hornsby and President Barnes of the Browns came as a surprise. Recently, Barnes told Trans Radio that he considered Hornsby the best manager in baseball. At the time, Barnes said, quote, Hornsby works morning, noon, and night for the best interests of the Browns. He thinks baseball and lives baseball. Hornsby is a splendid man to hold down the manager's job in our new setup, which stresses the development of younger players, end quote. The deposed manager Hornsby and his successor Bottomley were stars of the first order. Hornsby was perhaps the greatest right-handed hitter ever to walk to the plate. Hornsby led the National League in batting seven times and set an all-time Major League batting mark of .424 as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals in 1924. Raja hit .400 three times during his career. He played 22 seasons in the Big Show and wound up with a lifetime average of .359. Hornsby came up to the big leagues from Denison, Texas, in the Western Association. The young second sacker was sold to the St. Louis Cardinals for a reported $500. $500 for a man destined to become one of the most colorful second basemen of all time. Hornsby was made manager of the Cardinals in 1926. He proceeded to give St. Louis its first National League pennant and a world championship. No sooner had St. Louis finished its celebration than Hornsby was traded to the New York Giants for Frankie Frisch, the present Cardinal manager, and Jimmy Ring. The Giants traded Hornsby to Boston in 1928, and Hornsby became manager of the Braves. The following fall, Hornsby went to the Chicago Cubs for a reported price of $200,000 and several players. Hornsby was voted the most valuable player in the National League during his first year in a Cub uniform. Progressive Hornsby was made manager of the Cubs in 1931 and was released in 1932. He went back to the Cards the following year. Hornsby was released by the Cardinals in 1933 and appointed manager of the St. Louis Browns to succeed William Killefer. The new manager, Bottomley, is an old friend and teammate of Hornsby. Sonny Jim played first base while Rogers was at second on the St. Louis Cardinals World Championship team of 1926. Coach Charles O'Leary of the St. Louis Browns was fired today along with manager Rogers Hornsby. The Browns president, Donald Barnes, announced that the former St. Louis Card manager, Gabby Street, would succeed O'Leary. And now for a bit of sporting information other than baseball. From Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, former national tennis champion Wilmer Allison will continue his quest for permanent possession of the Longwood Bowl in the third round match today. The 1935 title holder, twice winner of the Longwood Cricket Club tournament, will take on Howard Stevens of Yale University this afternoon. Gilbert Hunt is paired with Norman Bickell, while Vernon Markham will clash with William Murphy. And from London, the tennis world agreed today that only a startling upset can prevent the United States Davis Cup team from returning the international trophy to American shores. The magnificent uphill battle of Donald Budge to defeat Baron von Kramm of Germany installed the United States as the overwhelming choice to defeat England in the challenge round starting Saturday. Even without a strong number of two singles players, the American squad figures to win at least four of the five matches. On form, Budge should win his two singles duel. Budge and Mako should take the doubles, and the American number two singles player should defeat the English number two performer. Bunny Austin looms as the only British winner. And from Chicago, eight young boxers were named today to oppose a Dubuque, Iowa CYO team Friday night in a series of intercity matches. The bouts will be held here in Chicago. The Chicagoans will be fighting also for a chance to be among the Catholic Youth Organization members who will meet a team of South American champions at Soldiers Field on August 25th. The eight Chicago boxers include two who have already fought at Dubuque, Frankie Kainrath and Jackie Goodman. And from Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts again, Grayson Wheeler of Santa Monica, California, and Mrs. John Van Ryn of Austin, Texas, advanced today to the quarterfinal round of the women's single matches in the Longwood tournament. Mrs. Wheeler won her third round by defeating Mrs. August Callis of Richfield, Connecticut, 6-1, 6-4. Mrs. Van Ryn won her third round match from Virginia Ellis of Boston in straight sets, 6-love, 6-love. In two other third round matches, Mrs. Bonnie Miller Blank of Los Angeles defeated Grace Turber of New York, 6-1, 6-0. And Norma Taubo of Scarsdale, New York, won for Mrs. E.B. Corbier of Southborough, Massachusetts, 6-1, 6-4. The country's third-ranking tennis player, Mrs. Sarah Palfrey Fabian, defeated the Japanese star, Mrs. Takuku Nakano, today to advance to the quarterfinal round of the Longwood women's singles. And now I see that Hal Totten is ready, and we'll go back to Comiskey Park to the baseball game between the Chicago White Sox and the Washington Senators. Take it, Hal.
Back at the ballpark, ladies and gentlemen, after our hectic start. Boy, look at that outfield. You can see where those bands really T-rated, can't you? All over the outfield is stacks of bandsmen walking here and there and thereabouts. The White Sox been waiting while Benura was in the clubhouse, apparently getting his gloves fixed. He finally gets out there in the field. Now umpire Owens is standing out here at the right of the plate, talking to Lewis, the second hitter. Almeida's already there. And I don't see just what the delay is being caused by now. All of the White Sox are on the field, and Dietrich has finished his warm-up. Umpire Owens standing there talking to Almeida and Lewis. Other umpires talking to the two coaches. And apparently the fans have all finally gotten back in the grandstand, or maybe a few of them are still getting back in. That may be the reason for it. The Florida delegation ended up out there at the plate with a big presentation to the two managers, featuring the huge man in the bathing trunk and the carrying the alligator. And both teams lined up, one along the first, one along the third base line. It really has been a very, very spectacular display out here, and one that everybody in the park will well remember, because things like that don't happen around big league ball arches very often, and they're very, very welcome for a change. Now umpire Owens is walking over there to the stand to the right, because apparently some of the boys are still hanging over the edge, and maybe they don't realize that they really have got to get things in off the field before we can go on. But apparently they've done that now to suit him, and Rick walks back out here to start the ball game. Finally takes his place up there behind the catcher. Dietrich out there getting ready to pitch the first one. Starts his easy swinging windup and pitches in. Almeida gets a good strike over the outside corner just above the knees. One strike on Almeida. Pitcher again starts to wind up. Throws, and Mill takes the ball. It missed the outside corner, cross the waist, breaking in toward the hitter. And it's one ball and one strike. One and one the count. One and one. He swings the next hit along, drives deep right field. The Walker's way, way back there near the wall, but it goes in through the stands for a home run. A home run into the lower deck of the right field stands for the first demonstration
for the benefit of the visiting Lions out here. And that ball was really hit. And now some of those cowboy boys downstairs start unloading the blank cartridges, which echo through the stands. And Almeida opens the ball game with a home run into the right field stands to give the Senators a 1-0 lead over the White Sox. And it brings Lewis, another left-handed hitter, to bat. Dietrich starts to wind up throws, and Buddy takes a high one wide for ball one. One ball called. But you're again winding up pitches, and the hitter swings to foul the ball back to the screen, and it's 1-1. One ball and one strike. Dietrich waits out there for the next sign. He has it. He starts to wind up again. And pitches, and the hitter gets the second ball right across the knees, making it 2-1. Two balls and one strike. There comes the third ball, another wide one, and Dietrich's famous lack of control is starting to bother him very early in this ball game. Very early in this ball game, just waiting out there again. Starts to wind up. And throws, and the hitter takes ball four. It's over the plate, but it's too low. And Lewis gets a base on balls. Well, well, well. Things aren't looking at all well for the White Sox and their pitcher. And the result is that they have a runner on first base. Nobody out in the first inning. One run already home on Almeida's home run. And Travis, the shortstop, still another left-handed hitter, is at bat. And the White Sox start somebody warming up. I believe it's Kane warming up in the left field bullpen. And the first pitch to Travis is a sharp breaking third ball that goes inside and low for ball one. One ball called. He watches first base, throws again. The hitter swings, hit a fly in left field. Radcliffe is racing back into his left and makes the catch out there for the first out in the first inning. Chasing Lewis back to first base. And Buddy's on first base still with one out. One run already home in the first inning. And Simmons, Al Simmons, the Washington left fielder, is at bat. Dietrich stretches, gets ready to pitch the first one. Well, pitches, and the hitter takes a slow curve and misses the outside corner across the way. Al is a right-handed hitter, the first base Dietrich so far. Bill takes a look at first base. The runner's on the goal. The hitter takes a wide one. Sewell's throw gets out there. And the runner slides in safely, stealing second. A good steal of second by Lewis, putting him on second base with one out, one run home in the first inning. Simmons still at bat in the count, 2-0. Two balls and no strikes on Al. Dietrich throws now, and Simmons swings and fouls the ball on the ground. It hits the catcher's foot, bounds over to the right, and Sewell trots over there to pick it up, look it over, and throw it back. Now he's going to take it back to the umpire. Apparently, too marred up for use. Simmons is a third ball. It's wide and low. And so it's 3-1 on Al. Three balls and one strike on Simmons. Three and one to count. Here comes that pitcher again. Ready? But the second throws, and Al hits a long drive to deep left field. So way, way back. Looks though that's also in there. And it is a home run into the second deck of the left field stands by Simmons. And he's starting around second base. The ball bounded back into the field. But Al starts on around the bases, and it's another home run, this time with a man on base. And Mr. Dietrich, I don't believe, will be with us very long if his luck persists in that manner. He's given up two hits, both of them home runs, in the same time there was a walk. And the man at bat is Stone, taking the first pitch wide and low for ball one. One ball called. Washington now leading the Sox 3-0 in the first inning. Result of two home runs and a walk. And the next pitch, he finally gets one over down around the knees And it's strike one. So it's one ball and one strike on Stone. Dietrich winds up again, pitches, and the hitter fouls this one into the second deck, above and to the left of the plate, and it's one ball and two strikes on Stone. One and two the count. Dietrich throws again for a wide one and ball two. So it's two balls and two strikes. Two and two the count on Stone. He's ready out there again, has the sign once more, starts to wind up. Pitches and the hitter swings at an easy bounder down to Hayes, who scoops it up, throws to first base, and Stone is out by a step for the second out in the first inning. And that's a two out of the first inning for the Senators. Three runs are home, and Joe Kuhl, the first baseman, is at bat. Kuhl up there at the plate. Another left-handed swinger, by the way. And he takes the first one wide and low for ball one. One ball called. Again, the pitcher starts to wind up, throws, and Joe starts to swing, but changes his mind to take a high one inside. And it's two and nothing. Two balls and no strikes on Kuhl. One nothing to count. Joe takes the first strike now. Fastball over the inside corner down around the knees. And it's two and one. He swings the next to drive it into center field for a base hit. Well hit, base hit, too. He makes the turn for second, but Cleavage makes a hard throw right straight to second base. Appling got it right over the bag with out a hop. Turns as though to throw to first, but Kuhl is on it all the way back there by then after making a wide turn. And it puts him on first base with Buddy Meyer. Buddy's a seventh hitter this inning, and six of the seven have been left-handed hitters. The first pitch is high and wide for ball one. One ball called. He waits there again, takes another look at first base, and throws, and the hitter swings in a high fly, coming down foul to the right of the plate, back of it a little. Sewell is back there and gets it for the third out, ending the first half of the first inning, but not until dire damage had been done to Bill Dietrich. Three runs, three hits, and one man left on base. The three runs being due to two home runs, a home run by Almeida to open the ball game, a home run by Simmons with Lewis, who had walked on base, and then the single by Kuhl left him on base. So the Senators are leading the White Sox by a score of 3-0 as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the first inning with Jackie Hayes, White Sox leadoff man, and second baseman, the first man at bat. Hayes up there at the plate. Jimmy DeShong is the pitcher for the Senators today. And Jackie steps up there to the plate after the umpire busts it off and pulls on his mask. Strong out there, starts to wind up. He's right-hander. And pitches him. The hitter takes a wide run across the knees for ball one. One ball called. Strong waits there, has the sign again, starts to wind up. Pitches and Hayes takes a fast one for a strike over the inside corner across the chest. And it's one and one. One ball and one strike on Hayes. One and one is the count. He throws once more into the curve, ball wide and low, making it two and one. Two balls and one strike. There comes a wide one across the knees for ball three. So it's three and one on Jackie Hayes. Three balls and one strike. And there's the second strike. He let that one go by. It's over the plate, down around the knees. And so it's 3-2. 3 balls and 2 strikes. He throws once more. The hitter swings the right line. Short center field. Center fielder coming in fast. And grabs for the ball. It just drops out of his glove. Stone grabs it fast, holding Hayes at first base. And it's a base hit. A pop fly into center field on which Almeida made a great try and managed to just touch it with the tip of his fingers as it drops out there back at second base. And it goes as a base hit for Hayes, putting him on first base. Nobody out in the first inning for the White Sox. And Mike Previtt, White Sox center fielder, is at bat. Previtt up there at the plate. Towards the first base and throws. Mike gets a long fly, but it's fouled on the right field line and going back into seats out of reach. It's one strike on Previtt. One strike to count. Pitcher has the sign again now, throws, and Mike swings it a long way to deep left field. Way, way out there, and it's another home run. And boy, that one went way, way back into the lower deck of the seats. Way back, almost to the very rear of the lower deck. And Previtt is trotting around, steps on third base, and trots onto the plate. Boy, these Lions are really seeing some hitting out here. They come out here, and I've seen 3 home runs, and there's only a little more than half inning been played. So the score is 3-2 in favor of the Senators now in the first inning, and the White Sox have Dixie Walker at bat. Nobody out, 2 runs home. And the pitcher throws the first one. Dix takes it high and wide for ball one. One ball called. There isn't a strong wind blowing out either. As a matter of fact, it's a strong wind from the east. And Almeida's hit was against that wind. The others might be getting some support from it, but not enough to carry them in. The next pitch is ball two. It's also wide, and the count is 2-0 on Walker. 2 balls and no strikes. And there comes ball three inside and low. So it's 3 balls and no strikes on Walker. 3-0. DeShong stops to rub up the ball now before pitching the next one to Dix. The umpire calls for the ball, seeing whether it's all right or not. R. Owens examining the ball down there. Finally hands it back to the catcher. He throws it out to DeShong, and Walker, left-handed hitter, steps up there to plate again. He throws, and Dix takes strike one. Fast ball that came over the inside corner across the chest. And it's 3-1. 3 balls and 1 strike on Walker. He throws again, and Dix gets ball four. It's wide. The base on ball. And Zeke Venura is at bat. Venura up there at the plate. Zeke stops to dig in with his right foot there. Gets ready to pitch now, or to hit, rather, as DeShong gets ready to pitch. Jimmy suddenly steps off the mound, but umpire Moriarty over here at first base calls time, and Walker tosses his glass case to Merv Shea, coaching at first base. Turned to get out there and discovered he still has his glass case in his pocket. Those glasses cost about $18 a piece, you know. And the first pitch to Zeke is a high fastball inside for ball one. One ball called. He has the sign again. There's that stretch. He stretches his arms out in front of him instead of over his head and throws strike one over the inside corner about waist high. So the count is 1-1. 1 ball and 1 strike on Venura. Walker on first base. Nobody out. 2 runs home for the White Sox in the first inning. And Zeke gets the second ball high and wide to make it 2-1. 2 balls and 1 strike on Henry. Husky, right-handed hitter. 2-1 is the count. Still watching, finally gets his sign again. Pitches, and it's a strike over the outside corner across the knees. Henry lets out a howl. You can hear clear up here. He says, oh, but the ball curving away from him just nicely caught the corner down around the knees. And it's 2 balls and 2 strikes on Venura. 2-2 is the count. Three and two, pitcher throws again, and Zeke swings at a pop fly coming down back of the alongside the pitcher's mound. And the catcher, Farrell, goes out there to make the catch for the
first out in the inning. Venora pops off the barrel out there near the pitcher's mound. It's one out in the first inning for the White Sox. Walker is still on first base with two runs home. And Rip Radcliffe, Ray the Ripper, White Sox left fielder. A left-handed hitter is up there at bat. Conner hit an easy barter down to Meyer. Gets it, flips it to shortstop. He throws the first, but Walker's across the bag, well ahead of the throw. Ball was very slowly hit on Meyer. Didn't have much chance to make the play start any faster. The pivot was done perfectly by Silas. And so Radcliffe is on first base with two out in the first inning, two runs home. And Luke Appling at bat. Score 3-2 in favor of Washington in the last half of the first inning. Deshaun throws the first one, and Luke takes a high one wide for ball one. One ball called. Deshaun waits after the next sign. Seems to have it. He's ready. There's the stretch. He pitches, and Appling hits the ball in the center field. Dalmeida comes in nicely, though, and makes the catch for the third out. And it's two runs. Two hits. One man left on base in the last half of the first inning. And at the end of the first inning, Washington leads the White Sox by a score of 3-2. Washington leads the White Sox 3-2 at the end of the first inning of this ball game. The best is none too good where 90% of your driving safety is concerned. Be sure your car has the best in chassis lubrication. Have it Marfax regularly. You'll save money, too, because Marfax is the exclusive Texaco chassis lubricant which lasts twice as long as ordinary grease. Here is Rick Farrell at bat. Starts the second inning for Washington. Dietrich out there is getting ready to pitch the first one. Starts his easy swinging windup. Pitches, and Rick takes a fast strike over the inside corner a little above the knee. One strike on Farrell. Dietrich winds up again. Throws, and Rick swings to foul the ball back into the second deck above and back of the plate. And it's two strikes on Farrell. Two strikes to count. Again, the pitcher throws. Rick swings at a slow bounder. Appling comes in nicely, gets it, throws the first. And while the throw is low, Venora gets it nicely to get Farrell out for the first out in the second inning. One out of the second inning for Washington, and Deshaun, the Washington pitcher, is a bat. He bats right-handed as he pitches, and is already waiting there at the plate. Dietrich gets ready to pitch the first one to him. Bill's getting his sign. Starts his wind-up and throws, and the hitter swings at a high fly to right field. But Walker's back waiting for the ball. He has it, and it's two out in the second inning. Two out in the second inning for the Senators, and Almeida, the Washington center fielder, is at bat. Almeida up there at the plate. He just winds up, pitches, and it's a strike over the heart of the plate just above the knee. One strike on Almeida. Throws again. Almeida swings in a line drive to left field. Redcliffe in fast, gets it, and it's three outs. No runs, no hits in the second inning for Washington. And the score is still 3-2 in favor of the Senators as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the second inning. First White Sox hitter being Boesberger, White Sox third baseman. Broadcast of the White Sox-Washington game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, the home of the White Sox at Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. Broadcast reaches you through station WCFL in Chicago. Don't forget to get your request card and send it in for the 1937 Texaco scorebook, which is now off the presses and being mailed out. Some of them probably arrived this morning at your home. Stop in at any Texaco dealer, ask for a request card, fill it in completely with the information that's
The spaces are provided for. Mail it to me at WCFL.
Don't say NBC. That wouldn't be quite right, would it?
Although if it lands there, we'll see that it goes the right place anyway. But to WCFL, and then we'll see that you get your scorebook by return mail. It'll be mailed direct to you, no delay in delivery this time. A bigger, better book, and much more complete than last year. Further at that, hits the first pitch, a tremendous ball to deep right center, but Almeida goes over there beautifully to make a nice running catch of that ball for the first out. That Almeida really covers ground. The way that ball started, I thought it was really through there. With Stone coming fast, I didn't think he had a chance. And Almeida came out of nowhere to almost overrun the ball and still make the play. So it's one out in the second inning for the White Sox, with Luke Sewell, White Sox catcher, at bat. Sewell up there at the plate, 3-2 in favor of Washington. Sean winds up now, throws, and the hitter swings, hit a slow bounder down the third baseline. Third baseman Lewis gets it, throws the first, and while Cool had to shift to the back of the bag to take a rather wide throw to the left, he got the runner easily for the second out. And makes it two outs in the second inning for the White Sox. And Bill Dietrich, the White Sox pitcher, comes walking up there to the plate. Dietrich at bat, two out in the second inning for the Sox. Pitcher waiting out there at the sign. Pitch the first one to Dietrich. Starts the windup. And throws, and the hitter swings and fouls the ball in the ground. Hit the ground and bounded out back to the plate. And Sewell was walking on back to the bench, and the ball bounced to him. He very casually caught it, looked it over, held it out to the umpire, and pointed at something. Umpire had it, and the umpire says, throw it out of play. So Luke rolled it on over to the dugout, and the next pitch comes back for a strike over the outside corner. Dietrich didn't go after it. So it's two strikes on Bill. Two strikes to count. And he swings at the next one to hit a hard bounder down to the third baseman, who gets it, throws the first, and the runner is out as Cool leaves the bag to take the throw and then steps back on the bag for the third out. The ball was hard hit, but straight to Lewis. So it's no runs, no hits in the second inning for the White Sox. Ball remaining 3-2 in favor of Washington at the end of the second inning. It doesn't pay to experiment with motor oil. Always buy new Texaco motor oil and be sure that your car is getting complete lubrication. Texaco resists heat and it doesn't burn up inside the engine, and also it lasts longer, saving you real money. Lewis is at bat to start the third inning for the Senators and takes the first pitch inside across the knees for ball one. One ball called on Buddy, left-handed hitter, as I mentioned. Dietrich throws again for ball two. That also missed the inside corner down around the knees, and it's 2-0. Two balls and no strikes. He walks up onto the mound, stands there watching the plate again. Finally has his sign, starts his windup. And throws, and the hitter takes the ball three high and wide. He's got a walk in the first inning and rode home ahead of Simmons on Al's home run. Now he's on his way to another walk from the looks of things. There's the first strike. It's over the outside corner, a little above the knees. So it's 3-1, three balls and one strike on Lewis. Three and one is the count. Three and one, but the throws again, and there's a strike over the heart of the plate, just about knee high. So it's 3-2, three balls and two strikes on Lewis. 3-2 is the count, but the throws once more. Buddy swings, hit a fly in left field. That's just racing back very, very hard, and makes a pretty, pretty running catch way back toward the left field corner. And still on the go, running very hard when he made the play. So it's 1-0 in the third inning for the Senators, and Cecil Travis, the shortstop, is at bat. Dietrich got him out very nicely after having found a 3-0 on him. Got two strikes on the man, and then he hits that fly, which Rice just captured, although he had a little trouble catching up with it. Dietrich throws now, and the hitter swings, hits the line drive left field. Dietrich Radcliffe gets over there fast, takes it on the hop, turns and throws it into second base by fast fielding, holds it to a single. The ball was well hit down the left field line, and Radcliffe coming over fast, caught it on the bounce. And now again, the White Sox start team warming up in the left field bullpen. Simmons steps up there and suddenly stops, smooth down the dirt in the mound. The umpire, rather in the batter's box, the umpire calls time for him. Al is back up there again, though. Dietrich's ready to pitch to him, throws, and Simmons swings hit a fly coming down foul on the roof of the stand above first base. One strike on Simmons. One strike to count. Still watching first base. Finally throws again, and it's a high one inside for ball one, making it one ball and one strike on Simmons. One and one the count. One and one, but the team set once more. Throws and the hitter swings, hit a bounder down through the shortstop. Appling gets it, flips it to the second baseman. Hayes throws the first, but Simmons had beaten the relay there. It was a slow bounder, and they even had to make a very fast play to get Travis at second. So Hayes' throw it to first had no chance of beating Simmons. So it's two out in the third inning for the Senators. Simmons is on first base, and Johnny Stone, the Washington right fielder, is at bat. Stone up there at the plate. Watches the man at first base and pitches, and Stone takes a strike over the outside corner a little above the knee. One strike on Johnny. Waits there again for his sign, has it, swings around as he gets it, takes a look over his shoulder at the man at first base and pitches, and the hitter takes the ball. It's inside across the waist, and it's one and one. One ball and one strike on Stone. One and one the count. He's ready again, pitches, and the hitter swings, hits the slow bounder at the end of the bat. Berger comes over fast, grabs for the ball, but fumbles it. And the runner is safe on Berger's error. Looked like rather an easy ball, but I think it took just a little bit of a low hop. And while Bose managed to hit it with the glove and slow it up, he couldn't get it where he could reach it in time to make the play. And is charged with an error on it. And it moves Simmons to second base. So the Senators have runners on first and second with two outs. In the third inning, and Cool, the first baseman, is at bat. Cool up there at the plate. He hits the first one, foul down the left field line. Well hit foul right along the line, but foul by inches. And it's strike one. One strike to count. Ball was thrown in there, rolled in along the line. The one that had been hit, Cool got it and scooped it up in the Cool's hand. He batted it back to Cool. He just passed it to the umpire. To a regular juggling act going down there by the three of them. One strike on Joe. He's just ready to pitch again. He's watching the man at second. Finally pitches, and Cool hits a beauty off the deep left center. That's just going back there, but it's over his head. Lines up against the wall. One run is scoring. The second run in. Cool is on his way to third base. Appling gets the ball and throws it in. 2-3-6. And he stops it in the center of the diamond. A triple to left center by Cool. Driving in two unearned runs because they would not have scored if there hadn't been the error by Berger. And it gives the Senators a 5-2 lead over the White Sox. Senators leading 5-2, which is an unfortunate break for Dietrich because he isn't having a good enough day, apparently, to be able to weather those bad breaks like that boot. And the boys come up with trouble for him as soon as it happened. Now the man at bat is Meyer, the second baseman, and Buddy takes a strike over the outside corner. How about waist high? One strike to count. The throw is again, the hitter swings the bounder down to Appling. It takes a very nasty hop, and Appling has to throw up his glove to bat it to keep it from hitting him in the face. By the time he recovers it, another run is home, and Meyer is safe at first base. It is probably a base hit. Yes, it is a base hit because that one took a very bad hop. Appling, who was in front of it, had to throw up his hand to keep from getting hit in the face. Just managed to bat the ball to the ground, and by the time he recovered it, the runner was across first base, and Cool had scored the third run of the inning to give the Senators a 6-2 lead over the White Sox and bring Rick Farrell to bat. Farrell, a right-handed hitter up there at the plate. Farrell swings at a high fly to short right field. Walker's coming in easily under it.
comes in a little bit faster now and makes the catch for the third out. Ending the first half of the third inning with three runs, three hits, one error, one man that's on base. And all three runs are unearned runs because the error was made on a play that would have been the third out. And so the score is 6-2 in favor of Washington as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the third inning with Jackie Hayes, White Sox second baseman and leadoff man, the first man up. Broadcast the White Sox-Washington game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, the home of the White Sox at Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. Broadcast reaches you through station WCFL in Chicago. Hayes stands there waiting while DeShawn goes through his warm-up. Remember, the 1937 Texas scorebook is now ready. Book containing not only the complete rosters and sets of pictures of the White Sox and Cubs, but also several pages of data on them and their records, several pages of information about plays and questions that come up in baseball, rule interpretations, our complete scoring system with symbols and explanations, and pages of illustrations showing how the scoring works out, and more pages for scoring games than ever before. Stop at any Texaco dealer, get a request card, fill it in and mail it in, and the book will be mailed direct to you immediately by return mail. No delay in delivery this year. Hayes hits the first pitch, a long drive to left center, but Almeida's back there, sauntering back easily, and makes the catch for the first out in the third inning. The ball was well hit, but Almeida had no trouble getting over into deep left center to make the play. So it's one out in the third inning for the White Sox, and Mike Pavich, White Sox center fielder, is at bat. And the first pitch is a strike over the heart of the plate, just above the knees. One strike to count. We're again winding up throws, and the hitter takes a wide one across the knees for ball one. So the count is 1-1. One ball and one strike on Cleaver. One and one is the count. But throws the next one. The hitter hits a long drive to right field, but the right fielder Stone is waiting for that, gets it, and it's two out in the third inning. Two out in the third inning for the White Sox, with Dixie Walker, White Sox right fielder, at bat. Walker up there to plate. DeShong has always been more or less tough for the White Sox. While they started out in the first inning as though they were going to make things tough for him, he's caught up with him since then, and with a four-run lead, is going along pretty well. It throws now, and Dixie takes a wide one across the waist for ball one. One ball called. One ball called. It's ready again. Winds up. And throws, and the hitter swings to foul the ball into the stand to the right of the plate. And it's 1-1. One ball and one strike. One and one to count. And the pitcher seems set again as Walker was out of the box, but he steps back up there to the plate once more. And they're watching his sign. Let's look around the boys out there in the field at the plate once more. Then starts his wind up. And Walker hits the next, a high fly in the center field. Dalmeida's coming in nicely under it, slows up a little bit, but not much, and makes the catch on the run for the third out, ending the third inning with no runs, no hits for the White Sox. And at the end of the third inning, Washington is leading the White Sox by a score of 6-2. And now, for scores and batteries from other cities, we return to the studio.
In the National League, the Cubs took the first game of a doubleheader from the Philadelphia Phillies, 4-1, with Leon Hartman, the Cub battery for the entire game, for the Phillies, Johnson and Grace. In the second game, the Cubs lead the Phillies at the end of the first of the third, 5-0, with French and O'Day, the Cub battery for the Phillies, Jorgensen, Grace opening, Mulcahy pitching in the third inning. The Dodgers lead the Pirates at the end of the sixth inning, 5-0. Roman and Todd, the Pirate battery for the Dodgers, Jeffcoat and Spencer. The Reds lead the Giants at the end of the first of the fifth, 6-3. Hollingsworth and Davis, the red battery for the Giants, Castleman and Danning opening, Smith pitching in the fifth inning. The Bees took the first game from the Cardinals, 5-1, with Blake and Owen, the Cardinal battery for the Bees, Petty and Mueller. In the second game at the end of the first inning, it's a scoreless tie, 0-0 between the Cards and the Bees, with Dizzy Dean and Owen, the Cardinal battery, for the Bees, Lanning and Miller. In the American League, the Tigers and Red Sox are tied at the end of the second inning, 1-1. Grove and Dessau tell the Red Sox battery. For the Tigers, Bridges and Hayworth. The Indians lead the Athletics at the end of the seventh inning, 7-3. Thomas and Conroy opening for the A's, with Nelson pitching in the fifth inning, and for the Indians, Harder and Sullivan. And now back to Comiskey Park and Hal Totten. Take it, Hal.
Back at the ballpark for the fourth inning, Kane is now the White Sox pitcher, and the first pitch he throws to DeShong, the Washington pitcher, is a curveball that goes wide for ball one. DeShong bats right-handed, and Kane is a right-handed pitcher, as I believe you remember. Shook starts to wind up again. Throws and the hitter takes a strike over the outside corner just above the knees, and it's one ball and one strike, 1-1 on DeShong. Once more, the pitcher starts at wind-up throws, and Jimmy swings and misses a fastball for a strike, making it one ball and two strikes on DeShong. 1-2 the count. Again, Kane starts to wind up throws, and the hitter swings in a high fly. Cleavage is coming in under it. Now he stands waking, bats up a couple of steps, makes the catch easily, and it's one out in the fourth inning. One out in the fourth inning for Washington and Almeida. Mel Almeida, the Washington center fielder and leadoff man, a left-handed hitter, is at bat. There are only three right-handed hitters in the whole lineup, six left-handed swingers. Simmons, Farrell, and DeShong are the only ones batting right-handed. Pitcher throws now, and Mel takes a curveball wide and low for ball one. One ball called. And the pitcher seems ready again. He winds up once more. Throws, and the hitter reaches out, bunts one, but it goes foul back to the stand. And it's 1-1. One ball and one strike on Almeida. 1-1 the count. One and one the count. The pitcher winding up once more. He throws, and Mel takes a strike over the outside corner across the knees, and it's one ball and two strikes on Almeida. 1-2 the count. He swings the next to foul it back, and it's still one ball and two strikes on Mel. 1-2 the count. Team set again, rubs that new ball up. Finally sets down the slide and is ready once more. Winding up again. Throws, and Mel swings hit a bounder down to the shortstop. Atling follows a very bad hop nicely. Throws rather wide to first, but Benoit reaches way out to the left and gets it for the second out. So it's two outs in the fourth inning for Washington. And Lewis, Buddy Lewis, the Washington third baseman, is at bat. Lewis up there at the plate. Winds up the pitch, first one to Buddy. Throws, and he swings and misses a curveball for strike one. One strike on Lewis. Buddy waits out there again now. He starts to wind up once more. Throws, and Lewis takes a strike over the outside corner above the knees. And it's two strikes on Buddy. Two strikes to count. Two strikes to count, but it winds up once more, throws, and there's a ball up so low it gets away from Sewell, throws back almost to the screen, and it's 1-2. One ball and two strikes. One and two is the count, but she stands out there waiting again. Takes quite a while. Now he's winding up. Throws, and the hitter swings in a high fly to short left field. Ratcliffe is in there waiting for the ball. He's under it now, has it, and it's three out. No runs, no hits in the fourth inning for the Senators, and the score is still 6-2 in favor of Washington as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the fourth inning. First White Sox hitter will be Zeke Benura. This broadcast of the White Sox-Washington game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, the home of the White Sox in Chicago. As a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. The broadcast reaches you through station WCFL.
You see Donald McGillity come up here just a few minutes ago?
You know, I bet another one's listening in, too, recuperating from some injuries he got in an accident. He's also spending his vacation in bed. That's Alex Robb. He's been moving in a lot of listening in, both at the hospital and now that he's home at home. I think he listens to me once in a while. At least I've heard he does. And we're all doggone glad to hear that Alex is getting along better, although, again, it's an awful way to spend the vacation. Here is Benoit up there. Zeke hits the first one to fly to right field. Stone is going back on it. Oh, it gets over his head, bounds back into the field, and he gets it and throws it in as Benoit pulls up at second base. Mr. Stone was going to be nonchalant that time, and he started back on that ball very slowly, just taking a step or two, and then he stopped and looked, and then started to race back, but by that time the ball was over his head. Hey, man, that fella Benoit really hits the ball, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-base hit for Zeke, putting him on second base. With nobody out in the fourth inning for the White Sox. And the man at bat is Rip Radcliffe. Rip takes the first one inside across the waist. It's ball one. One ball called. One ball called. The team's ready again. Throws and hitter hits the bounder down to the shortstop. Travis comes up with the ball, throws to first, and Radcliffe is out easily for the first out in the inning with Benoit having to stay at second base. The Rip is on second base with one out in the fourth inning, and Appling, Luke Appling, White Sox, shortstop is at bat.
And there's a high one wide for ball one, and the count is one ball called on Luke.
One ball called, but the team set again, pitches, and Appling swings and tried to stop his swing, but couldn't. He fell down trying to stop it, and he missed a high fastball inside for a strike. Umpire calls time as Appling steps out of the batter's box. But he steps back up there to play again. The count is one ball and one strike. Keeps watching second base, throws again, and the hitter hits a foul down past first base. It goes on down the line to the visitor's bullpen where one of the boys gets it to throw it back in. And it's one and two. One ball and two strikes. One and two is the count. And there is another ball. It's wide, and the count is two balls and two strikes on Appling. Two and two to count, but you wait there again for the next time. Takes another look back at second base, throws, and Luke hits another foul down the right field line, this time back into the seat. Hits two balls and two strikes on Appling. Two and two to count. And two, pitch waiting there again. Hands on his hips while he gets the sign now. A stretch in front of him. Looks back at second. Pitches and it's ball three. Appling step back to take one just above the knees inside. And it's three and two. Three balls and two strikes. Three and two is a count. Pitch waits out there again. Takes another look at second base. Now he's ready. Pitches, and it's a curve ball wide and low for ball three, or ball four, rather, and Appling gets a base on ball. Puts him on first base. The White Sox have runners on first and second with one out in the fourth inning, and Boesberger, Lou Berger, White Sox third baseman, is at bat. Washington leading the White Sox by a score of 6-2 in the last half of the fourth inning. Still watching second base, throws the hitter, swings and drives the ball hard to right field. Stone goes back nicely this time to make the catch after starting to just wait as he did on the ball that Benora hit, but he got back that time to make the catch and it's two out. Makes it two out in the fourth inning for the White Sox. They still have runners on first and second, and Luke Sewell, White Sox catcher, Here's a set. Rule up there at the plate. Corey is 6-2 in favor of Washington in the last half of the fourth inning. Pitcher turns and throws to second. Meyer takes the ball and tags Benora, who was already back on the base. So Zeke takes his lead again. White Sox runners on first and second. Two out in the fourth. Sewell at bat. Ready now throws, and Sewell takes the curveball wide. Rick Farrell came up with the ball, hands it to the umpire. Seemed to take off that time very peculiarly, as though it might be something wrong with the cover, but the umpire decides no, throws it, hands it back to Cashew, throws it back to pitcher. And the pitcher's ready out there again. Seems to have the side, and there's the stretch once more. Takes another look back at second pitches. And it's a wide one across the knees for ball two. And the count is 2-0. Two balls and no strikes on Sewell. 2-0 to count. Team's ready again. Throws, and Sewell swings in a high fly in a short left field. Simmons is in waiting for the ball, and he circles around a little bit, finally makes the catch for the third out. Al seemed a little bit indecisive that time. He danced first one side, then to the other, but he finally made the catch, as he usually does, for the third out. And it's no runs, one hit, two men left on base in the last half of the fourth inning for the White Sox. And the score stands 6-2 in favor of the Senators at the end of the fourth inning. Tourists are the people who roll up big mileage every year, and they have ample opportunity to compare the pickup, power, speed, and mileage of many different gasolines. And tourists buy more Texaco Fire Chief gasoline than any other brand. They know that Fire Chief gives them more for their money. Why don't you try Fire Chief in your car? Well, Donald McGivern, he's a busy man out there. Oh, look, he's got Joe Allegretti with him down there. What do you know about that? A lot of wires here. What's this from Hepburn out the Texas Company in Rockford? Unable to secure two tickets Sunday game. Only game I can see this season. Greatly appreciate any assistance you can give. Thanks. Sorry, my friend, it's too late. You just can't give any assistance because there just are no more tickets to be had. That is reserve tickets. There'll be 40,000, 45,000 tickets placed on sale on Sunday morning. 40,000 grandstand and 5,000 bleachers. You see Dobbins again, say hello from me, Charlie Comiskey, knew him well. C.J. Broughton from Wilmette. Well, oh, here's Dick Banner. Three runs is nothing, Al. Call me after the game. Okay, a little bit of salad. Yes, sir. One fella sitting right out here in front of us, I.G. Hirschka, a tailor from the south side here at Chicago, who says he's seeing his first game, although he's been in this city for 50 years. He went once back in 24 and fell asleep during the pregame practice and so never saw it, so he's taking a look today. First man at bat in the fifth inning. Savage hits the first pitch down to Epling and is thrown out at first base for the first out in the fifth inning. One out in the fifth inning for the Senators. And Al Simmons is at bat. Al Simmons, the Washington left fielder. Pitcher winds up now to pitch the first one, throws, and Al takes the curveball wide for ball one. One ball called on Simmons. Pitcher winding up once more. Throws, and Al takes a wide one across the knees for ball two, and the count is 2-0. Two balls and no strikes on Simmons. 2-0 is the count, but the White Sox there smooths the dirt down on in front of the slab, then starts his wind up and pitches, and Al starts to swing but stops to take a ball that's over the plate but too low, and it's 3-0. Three balls and no strikes on Simmons. 3-0 to count. Pitcher seems ready again, winds up once more, throws, and Al takes a strike over the outside corner about knee high, making it 3-1. 3-1 is the count. Hitter swings the next one to hit a high fly coming into right field. And Walker comes all the way in almost to the infield to make the catch. And it's one out.
or rather two out in the fifth inning. About to take a look down here. Question Ernie asked, and so discovered it was two outs instead of one. And it's two out in the fifth inning for the Washington Senators, and Stone at bat. Oh, get me one of those six shooters. That would have me some fun. Yowza. There's our Moonon friend, George. And the first pitch to Stone, he takes wide and low for ball one. One ball called. One ball called. Pitcher ready once more. Starts to wind up. Pitches and the hitter swings. Hits the ball hard into right center for a good base hit. Walker's over there fast. So is Cleavage. Dixie makes the play. Throws the ball into second base. And the runner gallops back to first. A single to right center by Stone. Putting him on first base. With two out in the fifth inning for the Senators. And Joe Kuhl, the Washington first baseman, is at bat. Kuhl up there to play. Watching first base now, looks to play. Gets ready to pitch the first one to Kuhl. Now he has the sign. There's the stretch. Looks back at first base. Pitches. And it's a high one inside for ball one. One ball called. Kane has the sign again, takes another look at the runner, then pitches a slow one. The hitter swings in a high fly to short left field. Radcliffe coming in hard, calling for the ball. He has it. Happening had started back fast, but slowed down when the Ripper made the call. And so Ray gets the ball for the third out. It's no runs, one hit, and one man left on base in the first half of the fifth inning. And the score is still 6-2 in favor of the Senators as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the fifth inning. Kane himself, the White Sox pitcher, the first man at bat. Broadcast, the White Sox-Washington game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, the home of the White Sox at Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. The broadcast reaches you through WCFL in Chicago. Kane is already standing up there alongside of umpire Owens, who's been talking to Mule Haas, White Sox reserve outfielder, who's on his way down the first base coaching line. Hayes out here waiting to swing. Hiya, Don. How's that Northwood tan of yours coming along? Yeah, I saw Joe out there. The pitcher's ready now, winds up to pitch the first one, throws the hitter, swings and fouls the ball back to the screen for strike one. One strike on Kane. And the pitcher winds up again, throws, the hitter swings and misses a curveball inside for a strike, and it's two strikes on Kane. Hitter swings the next one. It's a bounder to the first baseman. Kuhl gets it, runs over, steps on first base, and it's one out in the fifth inning for the White Sox. One out in the fifth inning with Jackie Hayes, White Sox leadoff man and second baseman, now at bat. Pitcher waits out there now to pick the first one to Jackie Hayes. Pitcher starts to wind up. And throws, and Jackie takes the curveball inside and low for ball one. One ball called. Pitcher again starts to wind up, pitches, and there's a high one wide for ball two, and the count is 2-0. Two and nothing is the count with the pitcher ready again. He winds up once more, throws, and there's a high one wide for ball three, making it three balls and no strikes on Hayes. 3-1 is the count. Waiting out there again now, stands there getting a sign, starts to wind up, and pitches, and Hayes gets the fourth ball. It's high and inside, and it's a base on ball for Hayes, which can bring him on first base with one out in the fifth inning and Cleavage at bat.
Pitcher stands on the rubber there, getting his sign to pitch the first one to Cleavage. And the pitch comes over the plate for strike one. One strike on Mike. And there is ball one, and the count is one ball and one strike on Cleavage. One and one the count on Mike. Hayes on first base, one out in the fifth inning for the White Sox. Washington leading 6-2. And he hits the next one. A line drive straight into the shortstop's hands. He gets the ball, throws to first, and the ball bounces out of Cool's glove. However, I think Hayes had managed to get back there just in time. Ball was well hit, but straight into shortstop Savage hands. And he threw fast at first to try to complete a double play, but Hayes got back, and then the ball bounded out of Cool's glove anyway. However, it's two out in the fifth inning for the White Sox, and Walker. Dixie Walker is at bat, and the hitter swings at an easy bounder down to Miles, gets a throw to first base, and Walker is out for the third out. So it's no runs, no hits, one man left on base in the last half of the fifth inning for the White Sox, and the score at the end of the fifth inning, the Washington Senators are leading the White Sox by a score of 6-2. And now again, for just a moment, we return to the studio.
Stop for a filling of Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. When you've tried Fire Chief in your car, tested it, given it a thoroughgoing third-degree trial under every driving condition, then, and only then, will you know what emergency action really means. Texaco Fire Chief gasoline meets rigid specifications for emergency use, for use in fire engines, ambulances, and police cars. With Fire Chief in the tank of your car, you get everything in power, speed, and economy. That's why more tourists from coast to coast buy Fire Chief than any other single brand. So stop for a tank full of Fire Chief today. You'll get more for your money, yet you don't pay 1 cent more for Fire Chief than you do for ordinary gasoline. And now back to Comiskey Park for the continuation of the baseball game. Take it, Hal.
I'd call him. Back at the ballpark for the start of the sixth inning, ladies and gentlemen, the first man is set. For the Senators will be Meyer, Buddy Meyer, the second baseman. Left-handed hitter, he's already up there at the plate to start the sixth inning. Washington leading by a score of 6-2. And the first pitch is a wide one for ball one. One ball called on Meyer. One ball call, Mr. Waits out there again, steps up to the hitter, steps up back up to the plate. He was out of the batter's box. And Mitchell throws, and he takes a ball wide and low, making it 2-0 on Meyer. Two balls and no strikes on Buddy Meyer. Washington's second baseman is back to start the sixth inning. Washington leading 6-2. Kane again starts the windup. Throws, and the hitter takes a strike over the inside corner about knee high. And so it's 2-1. Two balls and one strike. Kane again starts to wind up. Throws and the hitter swings and it's a high fly to short left field up back at third base. Appling's going back there and makes the catch over near the foul line for the first out in the sixth inning. One out in the sixth inning for the Senators, and Rick Farrell steps up there to the plate. Farrell is at bat. Always waiting for the infielders to get back their position. Gets the sign, starts to wind up, and throws, and it's a strike over the outside corner above the knees. One strike on Farrell. One strike to count. Getting his sign once more. Suddenly Farrell discovers something wrong with the bat and starts back to the bench to get another one. Apparently found there was a crack in the handle of that one, which he didn't know about, so he throws it to the ground, takes another one from the bat boy, and starts back up to the plate. Barney arrives there at the plate. And Kane smoothing the dirt down in front of the slabs, ready to pitch to him once more. And they're getting a sign, starts to wind up. And pitches, and the hitter swings, hit a ball hard down to Berger, who makes a nice stop on a very bad hop and throws to first base, getting Farrell for the second out.
makes it two outs in the sixth inning for the Senators. And DeShong, the Washington pitcher, is coming up there to the plate. DeShong at bat. Let me finally rise there. Pays the pitcher. Pitcher stands there getting his sign. Starts his windup. And throws in the hitter. Takes a strike over the heart of the plate about waist high. One strike on DeShong. One strike to count. Kane winds up again. Throws. And Jimmy Jake gets the ball. Just missed the outside corner about across the waist. Dropped out of the catcher's glove. And it's one and one. One ball and one strike. One and one is the count with the pitcher winding up again. He throws, and there is the second ball. It's wide and low, making it two and one on DeShong. Two balls and one strike. Two and one the count with the pitcher winding up again. He throws, and it's inside and low for the third ball, making it three and one on DeShong. Three balls and one strike. Kane takes an easy windup, throws again, and it's strike two. It barely caught the inside corner a little above the knees, making it 3-2 on DeShong. Three balls and two strikes. Pitcher again starts to wind up, throws, and the hitter swings right through the box. He hits the ball and into center field for a base hit. A single to center field by Jimmy DeShong, the Washington pitcher. Puts him on first base, two out in the sixth inning. And Almeida, the Washington center fielder, is at bat. Hitter swings and fouls the first one into the second deck, above and to the right of the peg, and it's strike one. One strike to count. Ball bounds out and over after being fumbled by some of the spectators up here. Goes down amongst the box seat occupants downstairs. It's one strike on Almeida. And the pitch is ready again. Throws on its inside across the waist for a ball, making it one and one. One ball and one strike. One and one is the count. One and one. Pitcher waiting there again for the sign as Almeida shifts first the bat, first to one hand, then the other. Finally gets ready. As Kane pitches and the hitter swings, hit a ball in the center field. Cleavage going way back and makes the catch out there for the third out. Boy, that Cleavage never hesitated. That ball had hardly left the bat before he had turned his back to the infield and was heading straight for that bleachers wall. And he started watching back over his shoulder and whirled at the last minute to make that catch in deep center for the third out. So it's no runs, one hit, one man left on base in the first half of the sixth inning. And the score is still 6-2 in favor of Washington as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the sixth with Zeke Benora again the first man at bat. I don't know how many of the listeners had heard the one unusual bit of baseball news today. Down there in St. Louis, they've had quite a shakeup, and manager Hornsby and coach Charlie O'Leary, who is incidentally resides in Chicago, have been released. And for the remainder of the season at least, Jim Bottomley has been made manager of the Browns, and Gabby Street, who formerly managed the Cardinals and has recently been up there at St. Paul, has been called in to assist Bottomley as coach. And that's the reorganization today down there in St. Louis of the American League Club. Benora is up there at the plate now. Starts the last half of the sixth inning. He waits out there to get the sign. Starts to wind up. And throws, and Zeke takes a slow, and it's a curve over the outside corner about knee high for strike one. One strike on Benora. He's waiting there for the next time. Seems to have it. Starts his wind up. And pitches, and the hitter takes a wide one across the chest for ball one. So it's one and one. One ball and one strike on Benora. One and one the count. One and one, but winds up again, throws, Zeke swings, did a long drive to center field, but Almeida's over there waiting for it, has it, and it's one out in the sixth inning. One out in the sixth inning for the White Sox. And Ratcliffe, the White Sox left fielder, is at bat. Rip Ratcliffe up there now. Whitehead's doing a little warming up in the bullpen, but I believe it's just to get a good loosening up because he's expected to open against the Yankees next Friday. Remember, the Yankees here are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with a doubleheader Sunday. First pitch to Radcliffe is a strike over the outside corner about waist high. One strike count. He's ready again, winds up once more. Throws, and there's a ball, a third ball inside. Wait a minute, did I call that other one a strike? Apparently it was a ball. I thought I saw the umpire's arm come up on it. It was ball one, so it's ball two now, according to that board. And there is ball three inside across the waist, making it 3-0. Three balls and no strikes. Once more, DeShong starts to wind up. Pitches, and there's a strike down the middle waist side. We're on the count of 3-1. 3-1 the count. And there's the fourth ball high and wide. Radcliffe gets the base on ball. He's on first base with one out in the sixth inning for the White Sox. And Luke Appling, White Sox shortstop, is at bat. Appling up there at the plate. Takes the first one and it's wide across the knees for ball one. One ball called. Strong gives the ball in there for a look over by the umpire, but has it again, pitches, and it's a curve ball wide and low for ball two, making the count 2-0. Two balls and no strike on Appling. That's it on first base, one out in the sixth inning for the White Sox. Throws again for a strike over the inside corner, about knee high. Appling turns and walks out of the box. Apparently a little bit surprised at that. Finally steps back up to the plate, and the count is 2-1. Two balls and one strike. Two and one, such a team's ready again, throws. And it's strike two right down the alley, just a little below the waist, making it 2-2. Two balls and two strikes on Appling. One out, Radcliffe on first base in the sixth inning for the Sox, Washington leading 6-2. DeShong pitches again, and Appling gets the third ball. A fast one inside across the chest. The run count to 3-2. Three balls and two strikes. There, the sign again. Takes another look at the man at first. Pitches, the runner's on the goal as Appling hits the ball right back at the shortstop, and he throws to second base, and it's both out. Although the play at second was a little close, the Radcliffe went off the base and then went back to the base again, and is standing there on second base while they're trying to decide amongst the umpires what is what. Appling is arguing with umpire Johnson that he thought that the runner was safe at second, and Dykes is out there. The umpire got himself into the argument by the fact that he spread his hand to indicate safe, and then, after the ball was thrown to first base, lifted his hand to his shoulder, indicating out. If he had raised his hand to begin with, I don't think there'd been any argument. And now several of the players are gathered around him, because he did. He spread his hand parallel to the ground, which is the usual sign to indicate safe. And then, as the ball started on its way to first base, the one hand came up about even with his shoulder. I noticed that, but figured that he had started to call him safe, then realized he was out and made the change in play. But naturally, the ball players are going to, if possible, remind him of a situation like that. So anyway, it's a double play, making it 3 outs. No runs, no hits in the sixth inning for the White Sox. And the score standing 6-2 in favor of Washington at the end of the sixth inning. And now again, for scores and batteries from other cities, we return to the studio.
The National League, the Cubs took the first game from the Phillies 4-1, and at the end of the sixth inning of the second game, lead the Phillies 5-0. The Cubs 5, Phillies nothing at the end of the sixth inning of the second game, with French and O'Day at the Cub battery for the second game. For the Phillies, Jorgensen, Atwood opening, Mulcahy pitching in the third inning. The Brooklyn Dodgers blanked the Pirates today 6-0 with Bowman and Todd, the Pirate battery. For the winning Dodgers, Jeffcoat and Spencer. The Reds lead the Giants at the end of the seventh inning, 6-4, with Hollingsworth and Davis, the red battery, for the Giants, Castleman and Danning, Smith in the fifth, and Kaufman in the seventh. The Bees beat the Cardinals in the first game 5-1, and lead the Cardinals at the end of the fifth inning of the second game 2-1, with Dizzy Dean and Owen working for the Cardinals in the second game. For the Bees, Lanning and Miller. In St. Louis, The Yanks and the Browns are tied at the end of the first inning, nothing to nothing, with Wicker and Dickey, the Yankee battery. For the Browns, Kupo and Hemsley. In Detroit, the Red Sox lead the Tigers at the end of the first half of the fifth inning, 4-1, with Grove and Desautels, the Red Sox battery. For the Tigers, Bridges and Hayworth. The Indians won the first game of the doubleheader from the Philadelphia Athletics, 9-8, with Bob Feller, the winning pitcher. And in the second game, the warm-up pitchers for the A's, Ross. For the Indians, Gale House. And now back to Comiskey Park and Hal Totten. Take it, Hal.
Back to Ball Park for the seventh inning, ladies and gentlemen. Lewis is the first man at bat for Washington. Took the first pitch for a ball, fouled the next one into the second deck to the left for a strike. And now the pitcher winds up, throws again. Buddy hits the ball hard into right field for a good clean line single. The single right by Lewis, putting him on first base. Nobody out of the seventh inning for Washington. And Travis, the Washington shortstop, is at bat. Travis up there to plate. Kane out there, smooths the dirt down, gets ready to pitch the first one to Travis. Gets his sign, there's the stretch. He looks at first base and throws over to first. And the runner's back in plenty of time. No, nobody out in the seventh inning. Lewis on first base. Score 6-2 in favor of Washington. Travis at bat. Watch first base throws, and the hitter swings in a high fly, coming down foul, back to third base, and back into the seats out of reach. It's one strike on Travis. One strike to count. One strike is the count. The pitcher waiting out there again. Move that dirt down in front of the slab and face the plate once more. It's quite a while. Finally has a sign. And pitches and the hitter swings. Hit a bounder down. Hayes goes far to his left. Grabs for it. But it bounds on out into right field. And the runner from first keeps right on for third base. Hayes dashed far to his left. Grabbed for the ball. But it bounded. Took a bad hop and went over his hand. On out into right field for a base hit. Moving Lewis to third base. And the Senators have runners on first and third. But nobody out in the seventh inning. And Simmons, Al Simmons, the Washington left fielder, is at bat. Simmons up there to play. Rigney is now warming up the stops alongside of Whitehead, who I believe, as I said, is tuning up for his appearance Friday. And first pitch to Simmons, the third ball wide for ball one. One ball called. Seems ready out there once more now. Throws and the hitter swings, hit a ball into right field for another base hit. One run is scored. The runner from first makes the turn, but Walker's throw across the infield to Appling holds him at second base. So Simmons single to right, scores Lewis. It's Simmons' third run batted in today. And Washington now leads the White Sox by a score of 7-2 in the seventh inning. They have runners on first and second with nobody out. One run already home. And Stone, the right fielder, is at bat. Johnny's already up there at the plate, infield playing for an expected bunt. Kane looks back at second base and pitches, and Stone instead swings, hits a high fly in a short left field. Ratcliffe coming in very fast and gets it for the first out in the seventh inning. One out in the seventh inning for Washington, and Joe Cool, the Washington first baseman, is at bat. Cool up there at the plate. And the hitter swings, hit a high fly into deep right center. Walker's way back there, so is Kravitz. Mike calls for the ball, makes the catch, and makes the throw into second base, holding the runner at first, but the runner from second goes on to third after the catch. So it's two out in the seventh inning for Washington. They have runners now on first and third with one run home. And the man at bat is Buddy Meyer, the Washington second baseman. But he stands there at the plate waiting as Kane gets his sign, gets ready to pitch the first one to him. There's a stretch, looks at the runners, first and third, and pitches, and the hitter hits a high fly to right field. Walker's back waiting for the ball, backs up a little more, and makes the catch, although he sort of kneeled down as he caught the ball, as though he again had lost it in that tough sun that they have to battle out there in the outfield. But he made the catch for the third out. And so, in the first half of the seventh inning, Washington had one run, three hits, two men left on base, and the score is 7-1 in favor of the Senators, As the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the seventh inning, the crowd is up for the seventh inning stretch, and the first White Sox hitter will be Berger. This broadcast of the White Sox-Washington game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, the home of the White Sox at Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. The broadcast reaches you through station WCFL in Chicago. Berger's already up there to play.
For those Lions that are returning to the loop are now parked on 34th Street. That's the first street, yes, sir, of the
Lions. They're announcing where the buses are to take the Lions back downtown. And anytime they want to go out there, they can go and get them. But I don't imagine many of them will want to leave yet. There's a laugh went through the stands when he said they're there now if you want to leave now. They don't want to wait until the end of this ball game. Here's Berger set to start the last half of the seventh inning for the White Sox. They set the plate as Deshaun looks around at the boys in the field, gets ready to pitch. Stands there getting his time. Dice is wind up throws, and the hitter swings in a high fly, coming back on the roof of the stand above third base, and it's one strike on Berger. One strike to count. Waiting out there again. Gets his sign. He's winding up. And throws, and the hitter swings and misses a curveball outside for strike two. And it's two strikes on Berger. Two strikes to count. Pitcher again starts to wind up. Throws, and the hitter takes a wide one across the knees. And it's ball one. So it's one ball and two strikes on both. One and two to count. Berger takes the next one for the second strike, rather third strike, over the heart of the plate just above the knees, and he's called out on strike for the first out of the seventh inning. Didn't agree with that very much, but didn't have much of a complaint to make. And now Luke Sewell steps up there to the plate. Sewell with that. Rigney keeping warm and might go in there in case they use a pinch hitter for Kane this inning. And Sewell takes the first pitch for a good strike over the heart of the plate about waist high. One strike on Sewell. Sean waits there again, has to sign once more, starts to wind up. Pitches, and the hitter swings and hits a slow bounder to the infield. Third baseman Lewis gets it, throws the first, but Cool had to make a fine reaching one-handed stab of the ball, a high throw to the left, but he got it and held onto it on a nice play for the second out. So it's two outs in the seventh inning for the White Sox, and Kane, the pitcher, is coming up to bat. Kane is on his way up there. Walking slowly up that plate. Bonnie arrives. Now Mr. Stratton's going to take a little workout out there in the bullpen also to loosen up a little today, I reckon. And Kane swings the first pitch and hits a curveball inside for strike one. One strike is the count. He throws again, the hitter swings and misses a curveball for strike two. And it's two strikes on King. Two strikes, the top of the pitcher ready once more. Winds up, pitches, and the hitter swings and misses, striking out for the third out in the seventh inning, making it no runs, no hits in the seventh inning for the White Sox. And at the end of the seventh inning, the White Sox and Washington Senators stand with Washington leading 7-2. Washington 7, White Sox 2 at the end of the seventh inning. Don't drive a car that is full of squeaks and rattles. Let your Texaco dealer give your car a Marfac job. Marfac will get rid of all squeaks and rattles and make your car run smoother and ride easier. It lasts longer, too. Try a Marfac lubrication job. First man at bat in the eighth inning for Washington will be Rick Fowle, who is already on his way up there to the plate. Yeah. Kane has finished the warm up, and Farrell is stepping up there to the plate. And there's the first pitch to Rick Farrell. The ball that came inside and low for ball one. One ball called. And there's the next one. He started a swing stop, but he'd gone about through on the ball, a high fastball inside, and he missed it for strike one. So it's one and one. One ball and one strike on Rick. Kane starts to wind up again. He throws, and Farrell takes ball two. It's inside across the waist, making it two balls and one strike on Rick Farrell. Two and one is the count. Here hits the next one. A beauty down the left field line for a base hit. The boys in the Sox bullpen get out of the way as the ball goes through to the left field wall, and Radcliffe gets it, throws it into third base on a long hop. As Farrell pulls up at second base. A double down the left field line by Rick Farrell, putting him on second base. With nobody out in the eighth inning for Washington, and Jimmy DeShong is at bat. Washington is leading the White Sox by a score of 7-2. Mr. Washington, second base throws, and our friend tried something new that time. He choked up on the bat, swung around as though to punt, and as the infielder started in, he pulled the bat back and took a little chop swing at the ball, but fouled it into the stand to the right of the plate for strike one. One strike on DeShong. With the pitcher waiting there again. Finally seems ready. Takes another look back at second base, pitches, and Jimmy was around ready to bunt again, but the pitch came high and wide, so they let it go for ball one. And the count is one ball and one strike on DeShong. One and one the count. One and one. Pitch takes another look at second, throws, and DeShong bunts the ball right back to Kane, who turns, starts to throw to third, and sees that the man has gone back to second, so he whirls and throws to first, and he threw wide, but Hayes got the ball, reaching way out to the left, hung onto the base. And then Zeke Benora's hand went sweeping into the air in a typical umpire's out motion, but there wasn't any question about it, so nobody could get mad. So the bunt resulted in nothing but getting the man at first base, because the runner from second did not advance, so it's not a sacrifice naturally. Just plain infield out on the bunt. So it's one out of the eighth inning for Washington. Farrell is still on second base, and Almeida, the leadoff man and center fielder, left-handed hitter, is up there to play. Almeida set. It throws, and Mel swings it a high fly to right field. Walker's back under the ball, comes in under it a little bit, makes the catch, and throws hard. Oh, look at that throw across the infield. Holy cat. Walker threw that ball to within 5 feet of third base and straight as a die, and gets a terrific round of applause from the fans for that great throw. That's the arm that was weak last year, so weak they had to tear it apart and put it together again. He's really been doing some throwing. And they sort of respected that, too. That runner just made a start for third and then went back and stood there. Of course, he isn't particularly a fast man, but even then, very usually, the man at second on a ball hit that deep will go to third anyway. So it's two out in the eighth inning for Washington. Farrell is still on second base. And Lewis, Buddy Lewis, the third baseman, another left-hander hitter at bat, hits the first pitch, a long hopper down to Appling and gets it, throws the first, and Lewis is out for the third out, ending the eighth inning, the first half of the eighth. No runs, one hit, one man left on base. Kane pitched good ball there. The first man up doubled, and he was still on second base when the inning was over. So it's 7-2 in favor of Washington as the White Sox come to bat. In the last half of the eighth inning was Jackie Hayes, the White Sox second baseman and leadoff man, the first man at bat. Hayes up there at the plate. Whoa. Had a frog in the throat. Broadcast, the White Sox-Washington game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, home of the White Sox in Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. The broadcast reaches you through station WCFL in Chicago. Hayes waits there as DeShong goes through his warm-up. there now. And DeShong on the mound gets ready to pitch the first one to him. Starts the windup and pitches. And the hitter takes a high one inside for ball one. One ball called. One ball called. Ready again. Starts the windup once more. Throws and Jackie takes a strike over the heart of the plate just above the knees. And it's one and one. Brown and Stratton are both warming up now in the bullpen now for Stott. Brown, I think, could go in there if they could suddenly get a big rally going here and get down far enough to have a pinch hitter. The hitter hits the ball back over the pitcher's head, and Meyer gets the ball near second base and makes a nice underhand fifth throw to first in order to retire Hayes by an eyelash for the first out in the eighth inning. One out in the eighth inning for the White Sox, and Mike Krivich is a bat. White Sox has still made only three hits. Off to Chong, the last one being Venora's double in the fourth, which was really a misjudged fly on the part of Stone. Tom McGinty wants him to get started. Better start pretty soon. Krivich gets the first pitch, an easy bounder down to Travis, who gets it, throws the first, and Krivich is out for the second out. So it's two out in the eighth inning for the White Sox, and Walker is at bat. Takes a look around, getting ready to pitch the first one to Dixie. Finally starts to wind up, throws, and Walker swings it, a batter down to the left hand. It bounds back, a shortstop, and out back of second base in the grass, and I believe it will be a base hit because the ball took a very nasty hop, and the shortstop had to reach for it, and it bounded past him, and it's a base hit for Walker on a ball that took a nasty hop past Travis, the shortstop. So put Dix on first base with two out in the eighth inning, and Zeke Venura is at bat. Venura is up there at the plate. And the first pitch is wide and low for ball one. One ball called. And the pitcher throws again. Zeke takes a high one inside for a ball. And the count is one and one. One ball and one strike. One and one on Venura. He waits for the next sign. There he has it. There's the stretch. Takes a look at first base pitches. And it's a curveball wide and low for ball two. So the count is two balls and one strike. Two and one on Zeke Venura. Once more, the pitcher steps on the slab, adjusts his cap, looks the hitter, gets his sign, he's ready to pitch, takes a look at the man at first base, pitches, and Zeke takes a high one inside for ball three, and it's three balls and one strike on Venura. Three and one the count. Washington leading the White Sox, 7-2 in the last half of the eighth inning. DeShong ready again, pitches, and Venura swings and hits the ball foul, hits the catcher's mask. And then the protector and bounds out to the right, but he gets it and throws it back to the pitcher. DeShong stands out there on the mound, rubbing that ball up. Bonnie turns around, watches the plate again while he finishes rubbing up the ball, steps on the slab, suddenly steps off, takes a look at the runner at first. Cool holds his hands out, so saying, come on, you want to throw the ball, throw it. But he throws it into the plate instead so that the umpire can look it over. 3-2 is the count. Fire Owens examines it very carefully, hands it back to the catcher. Zeke shakes yes, and the ball is thrown back out to the pitcher with a count of three balls and two strikes on Venura. 3-2 the count. He waits out there for the next sign. There's the stretch again. He pitches, and with a runner on the goal, Venura follows the ball onto the roof of the stand above first base, and it's 3-2 still. Three balls and two strikes. On Zeke. Three and two the count. Stands there watching the plate getting ready to pitch again. Finally has his sign. Pitches with a runner on the goal. The hitter hits one foul down the left field line. Hard hit bounder. And it's 3-2 still on Zeke. Three balls and two strikes. in, two to count. Seems ready again, throws, and it's a wide one for ball four. Zeke gets the base on ball. It moves Walker to second base. And Rip Radcliffe comes up there to the plate for the stock. That's been up there three times. He forced Walker for the second out in the first inning, grounded out to the shortstop for the first out in the fourth. Walken was forced to second base to front end of the double play that ended the sixth inning. And he's up there now. With two out in the eighth inning, White Sox runners on first and second. Score 7-2 in favor of Washington. And the first pitch inside and low for ball one. One ball called. You ready out there again? Takes another look at second. Pitches and Radcliffe hits the ball in center field for a base hit. Run up to second, around third on his way home. And Venora stops and races back to second base just in time. Made the turn for third, returned and dashed back to second. Make sure of being safe somewhere, and still was almost out. However, Radcliffe single to center, scores Walker, make the score 7-3 in favor of Washington. And Luke Appling is at bat. Appling up there at the plate. With runners on first and second, two out, one run home in the eighth, and Washington leading 7-3. Appling lined out to the center fielder for the third out in the first inning. Walken was left on base in the fourth and hit into the double play that ended the sixth inning. He's up there now. White Sox runners on first and second, two out, one run home in the eighth inning. Washington leading 7-3. And Luke takes the first pitch inside and low for ball one. One ball called. Seems to have a sign again. There's a stretch. Takes another look back at second base. Pitches for a strike. Slow curve from the inside. Caught the heart of the plate about knee high. And it's 1-1. My goodness. Thornton Lee, who pitched yesterday and won, is out there warming up for the Sox along with Brown. And the hitter hits the ball foul down past third base. And it's 1-2. Pitching inside to Appling for some reason or other. 1-2 is the count. One ball and two strikes. And the pitcher wakes out there again. Gets a new ball to pitch. Seems ready. Takes a look back at second base. Throws an Appling. Swings in a pop fly out back at second base. Travis, the shortstop, and Meyer, the second baseman, are there. And Buddy comes into the infield. Catches the ball. Almost drops it, but manages to scoop it in against his chest and hang on to it for the third out. So it's one run, two hits, and two men left on base in the last half of the eighth inning for the White Sox. And at the end of the eighth inning, Washington is leading the White Sox by a score of 7-3. Washington leading the White Sox 7-3 at the end of the eighth inning. You'll start saving money the minute you fill the crankcase of your car with new Texaco motor oil. Texaco's perforol film is tough. It resists heat. It lasts longer. You'll be surprised how little oil your car will use when it has new Texaco motor oil. So try a crankcase full right away. First man at bat in the ninth inning for Washington is Travis, the shortstop. Cease is already up there at the plate as Kane finishes his warm-ups, moves the dirt down in front of the slab, stands there watching the plate, and gets ready to pitch. Getting his sign out there. Finally starts his windup. Pitches, and the hitter takes a strike over the heart of the plate just above the knee. One strike on Travis. Strike at the count. The wait there again has the sign once more. Starts to wind up. Pitches and the hitter takes it inside across the waist for ball one. And the count is one ball and one strike on Travis. 1-1. He hits the next one for a foul down the left field line and into the second deck. It's 1-2. One ball and two strikes. One and two the count. Pitcher walks slowly up onto the slab again. Stands there getting his sign as he watches his catcher. And finally starts to wind up. Pitches. And the hitter swings and fouls the ball back to the screen. It's still one and two. Ed Linke is doing a little warming up down the right field bullpen for the Senators. One and two the count. It's waiting out there again. Fans are getting a sign. Winds up. And pitches, and the hitter swings, hit an easy bounder down to A's. It gets it on the second half. Throws the first, and Travis is out for the first out in the ninth inning. One out of the ninth inning for the Senators. And Al Simmons, the Washington left fielder, is at bat. Simmons up there at the plate. Kane has his sign. He's winding up. And throws, and Al swings and hits the ball hard. And Hayes leaps into the air to make a fine one-handed stab of that ball and hang on to it for the second out. Very nice play by Jackie. And it's two out in the ninth inning for the Senators with Stone, Johnny Stone, the Washington right fielder at bat. Stone up there at the plate. Starts to wind up, throws, and Stone takes it inside and low for ball one. Ball rolls back from the catcher, and so he gets another ball and throws it out to the pitcher. Kane rubs it up a little bit. He has the sign once more, winds up, throws, and Stone starts to swing, stops the ball, hits the bat, and goes foul up into the second deck down in front of us to our left a little bit. And it's one and one. One ball and one strike. One and one to count. Seems ready out there again. Stands there watching the catcher for the sign. Starts to wind up. Still winding up until the hitter steps out of the box. He took such a long session out there, swinging his arms back and forth. In fact, he even looked away over toward the dugout. And now the pitcher winds up and pitches, and Stone swings it a high fly to center field. Cleaver stands there waiting. Now he jogs three or four steps to the right. He's jogging in a little and makes the catch for the third out. So it's no runs, no hits in the ninth inning for Washington.
No hits. And the score is still 7-3 in favor of the Senators as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the ninth inning with Berger, both Berger, the Washington third baseman, the first man at bat.
Well, somebody's going to bat for Berger. Mr. Rosenthal, Larry Rosenthal, is up there to bat in place of Berger in the ninth inning. He's already waiting there, swinging a couple of bats. White Sox last chance to get back in this ball game, because the Senators have a four-run lead. They're leading 7-3, going into the last half of the ninth. Larry steps up there at the plate now to start the last half of the ninth inning. And Duchon stands there waiting. Linke still keeping all ready and warm out there in the right field bullpen. To throw that first one, it's inside across the waist for ball one. And the pitcher winds up again, throws. Larry swings, hits the bounder down the first baseline. Cool gets it, races for the bag, and they slide in, and the runner is safe. The runner beats into the bag. The Duchon was tearing over, and the runner and fielder both slip for the bag. And the umpire calls time now while he straightens the base. Rosenthal beats it out for a base hit. They both slid for the base, and Larry slid in there just ahead of him and gets credit for a base hit. Sewell is up there to strike now. Sewell Sewell is up there to plate now to start his turn at bat in the ninth inning with Rosenthal on first base. Haas is already out here to bat in place of Kane. And the first pitch is a strike down the middle, which Luke lets go by for strike one. One strike to count. Ready out there again, throws. And Sewell swings in a little looping fly in short left field. Shortstop going back and makes the catch back there for the second out, or first out rather, second man up. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. And it's one out in the ninth inning for the White Sox with Haas now batting in place of Kane. Haas batting for Kane. Rosenthal on first base, one out in the ninth inning for the White Sox. And Haas is batting in place of Kane. Watch the first base pitches, and Mule takes a wide one across the chest for ball one. One ball called. Last out of the ninth, Washington leading 7-3. Throws again, and Mule takes ball two. It's wide across the knees this time, and it's 2-0. Two balls and no strikes on Hunt. 1-0 is the count. It's a throws again, and it's a strike over the outside corner across the knees, making it 2-1. Two balls and one strike on Hunt. 2-1 the count. It's ready out there again. Swings the next one, hit an easy bounder to Meyer, who throws the second, and the throw to first is not completed because Haas was across the bag and Travis merely held the ball, but Rosenthal is forced at second base. Meyer to Travis for the second out in the ninth inning, bringing Hayes, the leadoff man, to bat. Hayes up there at the plate. Waiting out there to pitch now to Jackie. Says they're getting his sign. Watch the first base and throws, and Hayes hits a long drive to center field, but Almeida's back waiting for the ball and gets it for the third out, and the ball game is over with the score standing 7-3 in favor of the Washington club, ending the White Sox winning streak at 6 straight. No runs, one hit, one man left on base in the last half of the ninth inning. And the total, the Senators had 7 runs, 12 hits, no errors, and 7 men left on the bases. And the White Sox had 3 runs, 6 hits, 1 error, and 7 men left on the bases. The winning pitcher, of course, was DeShong. The losing pitcher was Dietrich, and the time of the game, 1 hour and 54 minutes. No game here tomorrow. We'll do the Cup game by wire on the air. And then on Friday, the New York Yankees are here to open their 4-game series, single games Friday and Saturday, and a doubleheader on Sunday. All of the reserved seats and box seats are sold for Sunday, but 40,000 grandstand seats and 5,000 bleacher seats will be placed on sale Sunday morning. So there's still plenty of room for everybody. Well, that's all for now. So Hal Totten speaking for Uncle George as well as himself. Bid you good afternoon from Comiskey Park, and we return to the studio. Goodbye now.
Beginning first the National League, the Cubs took both games of a twin bill from the Philadelphia Phillies today, winning the first 4-1 with 4 runs, 10 hits, and 1 error, to the Phillies 1 run, 8 hits, and no errors. Leon Hartnett, the Cub battery for the first game, for the Phillies, Johnson and Grace. In the first game, Collins had a home run in the first inning, and Camilli of the Phillies in the ninth inning. The Cubs won the second game 6-0. They had 6 runs, 11 hits, and no errors. To the Phillies, no runs, 6 hits, and 3 errors. French and O'Day, the Cub battery for the second game, and for the Phillies, Jorgensen Atwood opened, with Mulcahy pitching in the third inning, Kelleher in the eighth, and Crawford in the ninth inning. These 2 wins on the part of the Cubs, and the Giants losing to the Reds by a score of 6-5, puts the Cubs 2 games ahead of the Giants in the National League race. The Giants lost to the Reds today, 6-5, when the Reds scored 6 runs, 9 hits, and 2 errors, to the Giants 5 runs, 10 hits, and 5 errors. Hollingsworth and Davis, the winning Red battery, with Derringer pitching in the 8th inning, and for the Giants, Castleman and Danning opened, Smith on the mound in the 5th inning, Kaufman in the 7th, and Baker in the 9th. In that game, Whitehead of the Giants had a home run in the 3rd with 1 on, Goodman of the Reds in the 5th inning with 1 on, and Moore of the Giants in the 7th with the bases empty. In Boston, the Bees stung the St. Louis Cardinals for a double win today, taking both games of the twin bill, winning the first from the Cardinals 5-1 with 5 runs, 7 hits, and no errors, to the Cardinals 1 run, 5 hits, and no errors. Blake and Owen, the Cardinal battery for the game, for the Bees, Fetty and Miller. Miller of the Bees came through in the 11th inning with three men on base to score five runs. The Bees won five runs, 2-1 run for the Cardinals. In the second game, the Bees came out on top 2-1 with two runs, six hits, and one error to the Cardinals, one run, two hits, no error. Dizzy Dean, the losing pitcher for the Cardinals, with Owen the catcher, and for the Bees, Lanning and Miller. And now in the American League, the Yankees are leading the Browns at the end of the first half of the sixth inning, 2-1. Wicker and Dickey, the Yankee battery, for the Browns, Kupal and Hensley. Henrik of the Yanks had a home run in the second, and Crosetti in the sixth. In Detroit, the Boston Red Sox lead the Tigers at the end of the seventh inning, 10-3. Grove and Desautels, the Red Sox battery, for the Tigers, Bridges and Hayworth opening, Gill pitching in the sixth inning. Fox of the Red Sox has had two home runs, one in the second and one in the sixth with one man on. In Cleveland, the Indians won the first game of a twin bill from the Philadelphia Athletics, 9-8, with nine runs, 13 hits, and no errors, to the A's eight runs, nine hits, and two errors. Thomas and Conroy started for the A's, with Nelson pitching in the fifth and Kelly in the eighth. For the Tribe, Harder and Sullivan started, Andrews hurling in the eighth, and Bob Feller, the winning pitcher on the slab in the ninth inning. In the second game at the end of the first half of the first inning, the A's lead the Indians 3-0, with Ross and Drucker, the A battery. For the Indians, Gale House and Pitlack starting, with Heaving replacing Gale House in the first inning. Moses of the A's has had a home run. He had it in the first inning of the second game. On important plays, the base coaches advise their players, play safe. That's good baseball. It is also good advice to motorists who have one decision that must be played safe, and that is their choice of chassis lubrication. Every month, more and more drivers are making sure. Choose Marvac, the amazing Texaco lubricant. It stays with its job, clings to rapidly moving parts. Your important chassis gears will run easier, and your car will ride smoother, last longer, and its depreciation will be markedly less per 1,000 miles with Marvac. Make it a point today to play safe on chassis lubrication. Drive to your nearest Texaco dealer and say, Marvac. Your neighborhood Texaco service station has brought you this broadcast of the Chicago White Sox and the Washington Senators baseball game direct from Comiskey Park. Fred Fowler speaking for the Texas Company. Invite you to tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2:10 p.m. for another baseball broadcast with Hal Totten at the microphone. And whenever you hear the siren and bell, think of Texaco.